If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Our text will be verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." I've titled this message, "Risen with Christ." Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Now I need to know if I've been risen with Christ. And the reason I need to know is because it goes on and it says Christ is our life. It says that we shall appear with him in glory, but it all hinges on this: if we've been risen with Christ. Who has been risen with Christ? Well, who is the Apostle Paul writing to? Let's see. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, they have been risen with Christ. And the reason is because they are in Christ. Over in Ephesians 1, we read that God chose before the foundation of the world to save a people, to save sinners in Christ. It's all in Christ. That is key right there. Those two words, that's the gospel, in Christ. Look here in Colossians 1, down at verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The only way we're going to be redeemed is in Christ. The only way we can have forgiveness of all our sin is through the blood of Christ. Look down at verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him," by Christ, "to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." You know what that means? We've been made perfect in Christ. We who were his enemies. We who hated God. He has reconciled us to God by himself through his death. How are we risen with Christ? Look over at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." We are risen with Christ through faith. And that's the operation of God. Just as God the Father raised Christ from the dead, with that same power, he raises his people from spiritual death. He has quickened us together, given us life in Christ. Is that not amazing? Well, what does it mean? What does it really mean to be risen with Christ? I love this. In verse 10 right here in chapter 2, it says, "Ye are complete in him." That means it's finished. All that God requires, all that God demands for us to be accepted before him, we're complete. We are complete in Christ. We are one with him. Look back at chapter 1 again, verse 18. To be risen with Christ is to be one with Christ. We're with him. We're in him. Verse 18 of chapter 1 says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Christ is the head. He is our head. We are his body. Over in Ephesians 5, we read that we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." We're the bride of Christ, and he is our husband. He is our God. We are his people. He is our Lord. Who has been risen with Christ? Sinners. Sinners chosen in him before the foundation of the world. What does it mean to be risen with Christ? It's to be one with him. How are we risen with him? By faith. And that's the gift of God. Look back at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now, the first thing I want to mention here is, what are we to seek as children of God, as believers in Christ? What are we to seek on a daily basis? Not the things of this world. Everything here is temporal. It's all going to soon perish. 1 Timothy 6 verse 7 says, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain." It's certain. We can carry nothing out. I pray that God will not let us set the world in our hearts, or we'll perish right with it. Now, I pray this will be a great comfort to us, what I'm about to say. I got this from Brother Henry's commentary, and this just blessed my heart tremendously. What are we to seek? Here's the first thing he said. Seek the heavenly country. And today that means a lot more than it might other times. He's not seeking it anymore. He's there. And this is a scripture reference he gave. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Verse 11. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And I'll just say this. All our brethren who've gone before us, they're not wishing they could be here. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Look at verse 16. They're not looking to come back. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Is that not your hope? That God hath prepared for us a city? I've got to read this if you'll turn to John 14. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, heaven is not just a place. It is a place. But it's not the mansions and the streets of gold and the pearly gates that the believer desires. That's not what we're interested in. Look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What we desire is not the place, it's the person. We desire a heavenly country because of who's there. Turn with me to Psalm 17. This was Henry's other reference. And I just can't help but rejoice to read that he said, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. One thing that crossed my mind in reading this, when somebody dies, we often say they, at such and such time, so and so closed their eyes in death. Well, physically, yes. But spiritually, the exact opposite is true. When the child of God dies, we don't close our eyes. We open them. God opens them. Read that verse again. It says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake. Well, I thought we were asleep in Jesus. Yes, we are. Oh, but we're awake. We're awake. I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh my. Don't you look forward to seeing his face? You know, we see a lot of faces, don't we? I see some of your faces and it just makes me happy just to behold your face. One day we're going to see his face. When I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Oh, what a day. What a day. Lord, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Oh, may God cause us to seek Christ, to seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what God's righteousness is, don't you? It's Christ. We seek Him. Seek Christ. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Again, this is every child of God's greatest desire. Philippians 3, verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." One day we're going to attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We will truly be risen with Christ once and for all. And I can't wait. Perhaps I do have a life to live. That's good. But this is not my life. This is not my home. This isn't it. And we'll see that here in a minute. What are we to seek? Things above. The heavenly country. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness, His peace, all spiritual blessings that are in Him. Look back with me at our text, Colossians 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above," excuse me, "where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, what does that mean, we're dead? I'm looking at you. I know we're not physically dead. And we're not spiritually dead, because God has given us life in Christ. What does this mean? We're dead to the world. Paul said, "I'm crucified to the world and the world unto me." We're crucified to the world. We're dead to the law. The law has nothing to say to us. And we're dead to sin. Now, I can't explain that, because sin is all I am. Sin is all I do. But here's how we're dead to these things. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how. And if it says we're dead to these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, then it's so. It's so. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. The way that we are dead to the world, dead to the law, and dead to sin is because we died with Christ. We died in Him. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I mentioned it earlier. The believer is one with Christ. And here's the glory of that. Whatever Christ did, we did. Because we're in Him. When Christ, when He loved the Lord His God with all His heart, all His soul, all His mind, and all His strength, so did we. Now that's good news, because in myself I know I don't. when he loved his neighbor as himself, when he loved his enemies, gave his life for them, made them his friends, so did we in him. When Christ fulfilled the law of God perfectly, every jot, every tittle, so did we in him. Now you'll hear us say, we've not kept one of God's laws one time, and that's true, but not in Christ. Yea, we established the law through faith in him. When Christ hung on that cross, there was a thief to his left and a thief to his right. Isaiah 53 says, he made intercession for the transgressors. Are you a transgressor? That one thief, he cried, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I love what our Lord told him. I can just imagine him looking him right in the face and saying, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. When Christ died, we died in him. That thief, he died, but his real death was in Christ, who stood right beside him. He died in him. When Christ arose, we arose with him. That thief arose with him in paradise that same day. And as Christ lives, we live in him. We just read it, Christ liveth in me. What a wonderful thought. And we live in him. Our life is in him. He loved us and gave himself for us. Look back at our text. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is in Christ, and our life is hidden. It's hidden to all of us by nature until God reveals Christ in us, the hope of glory. But even now, our life in Christ is hidden from everybody else, everybody outside of Christ. The world can't see our life in Christ because they can't see Christ. And our life being hidden in Christ, it's safe. You ever hide something because you don't want somebody to take it? Safe. We're hidden in him. Isn't there a song, hidden in the hollow of his precious hand? That's where we are. I'll read this to you. John, you don't have to turn. John chapter 10. Just thinking about the security that we have in Christ, hidden in him. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, and he's made us to be one with him. He prayed, O Father, that they may be made perfect in one, that they all may be one, that they may be one in us, one in him, one with God. We're in Christ, and Christ is in God. I know Gabe says this sometimes, we're in Christ's hand and he's in the Father's hand. We could not be in better hands. Back in Colossians 3, verse 4, says, when Christ, who is our life, and those two words, who is, are in italics, when Christ, our life. Now here's something to dwell on. Just think about this. Christ is our life. I pray that we will never get over that. Christ is our life. Not only is life eternal knowing Christ, it is. Not only is life in Christ, it is. Not only, as I just read to us, has Christ given unto us eternal life, he has. He is our life. Whatever that means. All the glory associated with that, it's true. And let the brethren rejoice. Christ is our life. He that hath the Son. You know, this is all that matters. The things of this life, they really don't matter. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, he hath not life. So I raise this question. Do you have the Son? Do I have the Son? Do we believe on the Son of God? Here's the gospel message. Here's what that Samaritan woman learned from Christ himself. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, he said, for me to live is Christ. Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Colossians 3:4, when Christ our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He's coming back. For our brother, he just came back. And one day soon, he's coming back for us too, to receive us to himself. Turn back with me to Hebrews, this time chapter 9. Hebrews 9, look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back. Praise God, he's coming back. And this matter of the judgment, when we die, we meet God in judgment. Here's the good news for all children of God. Christ, we've already died in Christ. We've already satisfied the judgment of God in him. It's finished. Praise God, it's finished. But may we look forward. May we earnestly desire our Lord's return. He's going to appear. He shall appear. A second time without sin unto salvation. You know how he's going to appear without sin? We know that when Christ died, that he was made to be sin. The reason he was raised again, because God was satisfied. He has no sin. He never did. He never knew one sin. But he bore our sin. We just read it. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. But he put it away. He's the spotless Lamb of God, and he's coming back. Well, who's going to see him when he appears? Verse 28 says, them that look for him. Are we looking for him? I love this verse. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. One more thing here in verse 4 of our text. When Christ returns, something glorious is going to happen for us. Colossians 3 verse 4 says, when Christ our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Not only will we see him when he appears, we shall appear with him in glory. I'll close with this verse, 1 John chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me. We are going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. First John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. Amen. What a day, glorious day that will be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.